Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to Spirit of Life service for, Wednesday, July 29th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And tonight, we'd like to also welcome our live listeners, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and related topics, Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. As is customary, we'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. There are nine of them. Number one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for an expanded explanation of these different principles of belief, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. All right, so tonight we are going to be talking about an interesting topic, I'm sure. Basically, the title is The Changing Tide of Sexuality, or more accurately, The Changing Tide of Human Sexuality. And I've been wanting to discuss this for a few weeks, especially as the different news stories about transgenders have kind of been pretty prominent. And there's some other aspects of it too that I want to get into. All right, so first thing is that I want to talk about is tolerance and acceptance. Now, in our principles of belief, there's a couple of ones that really come into play here. First of all, number one, do no harm, do right. And number four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. And as you know, we've talked about this a little bit on previous programs, but the church's stance on this is that everybody's equal. We don't care what your sexual orientation is, what your gender is, your heritage, doesn't matter. Everybody's equal. Everybody's made from the same star stuff. I mean, that's just one of our principles of belief. Everybody's the same, and it doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. So if you're gay, no problem. If you're, and I hate the word straight, but if you're straight, that's fine. I mean, it's obviously acceptable too. Anything, you know, transgender, yes. And there's been, obviously in the news, as I mentioned, this whole concept of transgenders using the restroom for which, you know, they identify. And, of course, a lot of the opponents come up with all kinds of wacky stuff, you know, like it's just going to make give the pedophiles an easier go at it. And that's just baloney. Pedophiles are going to do what they do regardless of which bathroom they use. It's just ridiculous. So we obviously support that. The thing is that if you're new to this, the transgender thing, you know, it might take a little time to wrap your mind around it, but we're seeing a change. We're seeing an evolutionary change, I believe, that people are more free to express themselves as they wish, as they feel. And I just want to preface everything I'm going to say is it's not my intention to misspeak or to say something that might be construed as biased or anything, because it's not what this is about. This is about complete freedom. So pardon me if there are any of those. I'm trying not to. But we're seeing more transgender people in different roles that maybe we hadn't seen before. I mean, I was watching a documentary the other night, and one of the scientists that was on there was a transgender woman. And no biggie, but we're going to see more and more of that. I think there was, if I remember right, in the news story about a couple of congressmen, congresspeople who are transgendered. I don't recall the gender that they were, but we're seeing more of it, and that's becoming more of the norm. And obviously there's a lot of controversy around it, just like there was with everything that we've changed. You know, even civil rights back in the 60s and even prior to that, slavery and all that stuff that was horrendous. We're seeing a change, and that's a good evolutionary change. But there are also other changes, too. Maybe you've heard of this thing called fluid sexuality, where, you know, what's that? Well, as near as I can ascertain and doing a little research on it, it simply means that a person does not necessarily choose their partner by gender. It doesn't matter what gender they are. That's beside the point. It's the person. So their sexuality is more fluid. It's not determined by gender. With heterosexuals, you know, the partner is determined by gender. If you're a man, then it's a woman. If you're a woman, then it's a man. If you're gay, then the partner's chosen that way. Another man or another woman. But with sexual being sexually fluid, it just doesn't matter. It's not important to them. And it's not quite the same thing as being bi. It's just a little bit different. Some of it's probably semantics, but anyway, the point is, it doesn't matter. Human sexuality is largely determined by societal conditioning. If you look around the world, you see a lot of different customs regarding sexuality around the world. Obviously, in these Middle East and Western countries, for a long time, it's been heterosexual. Well, in more evolved Western countries, then, you know, it's been gay rights, and that's fine. But you look at some different South African or South American and African tribes, they have some different customs, a lot of different. Some of them, you know, their children, beginning at 8, 10, 12 years old, they're encouraged to experiment sexually. Some cultures, the children marry at a young age, you know, 10 or 12 years old. I'm not saying that that's good or right or wrong. In fact, a lot of this I'm not saying is right or wrong. There are obviously some instances that it's not healthy. But that's not the point of this discussion. I'm just saying that a lot of different customs exist in the world that we may or may not identify with. There's even customs of sibling or relative sexuality, where you know, cousins or siblings or whatnot. What I'm trying to achieve here is to simply look at it and try to divorce ourselves from the conditioning that's been forced upon us by society, by religion. I'm not saying to throw morals out the window, because everything must be governed by do no harm. Do no harm. You know, I don't personally believe in child marriages and that sort of thing. It's not healthy for the child. But when we're talking about consenting adults, who cares if they're cousins? Who cares? It's the consenting adults, and yet, you know, it's like it gives the law to marry your cousin in many states anyway. But yet, we see that all down through history. Einstein, others, there's a lot of very noteworthy or famous people who have married their cousins way back in the day. The other thing, somebody says FDR. Not sure, it must be Michael. He's talking about FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was one, married his cousin. So the thing is that be open-minded. Remember, do no harm. But don't let society or religion determine what's acceptable. Because we see that more fluid sexuality even among the animal kingdom, among great apes. Doesn't mean we have to act like them, but it means that there's more to human sexuality than what we've been taught or been allowed by religion, by society over the years. There's also another thing that I want to bring up. There's a bit of a controversy on gay folks. You know, if you're gay, were you born that way? Or is homosexuality a learned behavior? And there's a controversy on that too. And in my research, in my opinion, it can be both. You know, it can be both. But it doesn't matter. That's the whole thing. And so, of course, the religionists will say, well, it's a learned behavior, it's a sin, it's a character flaw, and you need to fix that. You need to get right with God. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and stop your sinful ways. That's baloney. It's part of the human condition. So whether you were born that way or whether you decided that's the way direction you want to go, it doesn't matter. So, you know, it just doesn't matter. So those are some of the points I wanted to make. Dr. Hunter, any comments you'd like to offer?
Well, I get there's so many different approaches to take here because I do have issues with child marriage and I do have issues with marrying cousins because it causes genetic flaws. It's simple as that. And marrying kids and kids having sex is, it's mutilation. So
obviously it's objectionable. And, you know, but again, we're going back to no pedophilia. It's not right to do that. That's wrong. Do no harm. That's the whole governing criteria here. And the argument could also be made that with cousins or whatever, you know, if there's no offspring produced, then what's the problem? You know, and I'm not arguing for or against anything. I'm just putting it out there.
Well, if you're just putting it out there and everybody thinks that they're doing fine, well, you know, I think that we do have to watch that we're not in a free-for-all when we start giving permission to not have good behavior. I think, you know, in my view, the whole planet is patriarchal, and until we stop, and this is my issue, this is my view of it, as long as we have the male domination where it influences religions, it influences our social cultures, and as long as that is there, because women are lesser, I think, women, when women are allowed in their sanity to participate, there is less violence any way you look at it. So that's my issue with the planet. So, I mean, I have been advocating for, family violence education my entire life. So, I mean, look, we're a changing species, whether we look at it medically, scientifically, there's, you know, culturally, technologically, we're a changing species. The whole planet is changing. But we have pockets of different realities. And if you're living in South America, you'll have one reality. You live in Africa, it's a different reality. I think that this is all very subjective and it's a perspective. I would like to bring up something that I have pondered a lot in my life, and that's the soul being born into a lifetime. Of course, you'd have to kind of believe in reincarnation to some degree. born into a lifetime with, you know, memory of being a different gender. It's very difficult to make, you know, transitions, gender transitions very quickly from one lifetime to another. I happen to believe that I have memory of the last 1,000 years, and including this one, only 3 of 12 that I remember, only 3 that I've been a woman. I identify with being male, and I have a kind of, you know, a bit of a warrior nature that way. And in the discovery of being female, you know, that's part of the journey. Zach says, don't get Dr. Kelly started on reincarnation. But let's say it is tapping into multiple universes where, you know, we connect with something a little bit differently. Some people actually have entertained the theory that this is all part of Lemuria and groups of souls coming now who were androgynous. There was no gender. There's an old story, a theory that from Lemuria to Atlantis, there was an agreement for who would procreate. You know, you'd volunteer yourself. And the development of the Atlantean society was to split off male-female. Many people now say we're returning more to a Lemurian consciousness. And again, these are theories. I think that you are who you are because you feel like you are who you are, and it's just part of your spirit and how you join with the body. I think that there's distinctions of our chemistry, and we look at it scientifically or medically. There are cases of where there's 2 genders in one body. There's, you know, the list is very long on this, but explain to me why I had lesbian geese. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they're quite the couple. And, unfortunately it really broke my heart, and it was PTSD, I tell you, when, a fox got them, but, they were 12 and 13 years old when they died.
Oh.
But that couple, they were inseparable. They would lay eggs, set on their eggs every year. And, of course, I desperately tried to take as many as I could. But they insisted to set. And, of course, there was never any babies because there's no fertility. But they were bonded so closely. And so this is not – some people would say that's an anomaly in nature. And it is an anomaly when we think that we need 2 genders in order to procreate. So if we're looking at the survival of the species, I suspect that there will always, you know, be volunteers.
I'm sure.
So, you know, I mean, so you are who you are because you feel like you are who you are, and you express that and live your life accordingly. And if people want children, they want children. And, you know, I think what's very difficult for me, my first experience meeting a couple was over 40 years ago. They had 4 children together, and then, according to her, he decided he was gay. Left the family. Of course, she is desperately trying to understand what was happening. But that's, you see, it's not easy not to take that to heart. She's thinking she did something wrong. What's happened? Of course, in those days, 40 years ago, that was, oh, wow, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
There were lots of questions about how does, because every kid I ever met 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, who was raised in a gay or lesbian family had issues. And I'm not kidding about this. But there's issues everywhere. You know, there's the question of one's sexuality. So this brings out a whole other social consideration. But if you don't think it's a big deal, it's not a big deal. This is the problem. Kids go to school, they get teased, there's peer pressure, all, you know. I happen to raise my kids around so many different types of people, having been in the media as well, theater. I mean, I there was bikers down the street, and I worked for the police department doing, you know, writing and production. I did a lot of radio and TV work. So my kids didn't even bat an eyelash. I mean, who's gay and not gay? Nobody. It was never a discussion, but it never had to be a discussion. They just knew. You know, it's like, oh, James has got a new boyfriend. Oh, so what? Do you see? So if we live in a compassionate, accepting society, then these aren't discussions except your own question about yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that everyone has those questions. You know, you're growing up self-exploring, finding out who you are in your adolescence, in your early adulthood, you know, where your boundaries are, you know, how you want to live your life. Do you want kids? Do you not want kids? I think that our greater issues is more about that male energy dominance that continues to contaminate our otherwise good thinking. And that largely comes from religions that are male dominated. I don't see one female run religion on this planet. So that's my soapbox for the night.
Okay, good soapbox. And you made a lot of good points. And so, you know, excellent points. And I would agree that the whole patriarchal system just doesn't work. And that's why I always advocate for a masculine-feminine balance. You know, that's why I tell people I'm more of a feminist than most women. Maybe I was a woman in a few past lifetimes or something, assuming that they existed, but that's another story. So, you know, the point of this whole discussion is to be open-minded. It's not necessarily one way or the other. It's do no harm. You know, child marriage, in my opinion, is not healthy for the children. It's harming them, so that's not a good thing. When you're talking about consenting adults who are responsible, then so what? So really the point of this topic tonight is to remain open-minded, be careful of belief systems that were indoctrinated by religion or by society, think for yourself, examine the evidence, and be open to, you know, people expressing themselves. It doesn't matter whether you're gay, straight, transgendered, whatever. There are good people and there are not so good people among everyone. If you are a woman, strive for a more masculine-feminine balance. If you're a man, strive for a more feminine-masculine balance. You know, be balanced. These macho dudes who see women as objects, that's not good. And no, I'm not going to talk about Trump. I just did. Anyway, we don't want to look at anyone as an object, especially women. We don't want to look at animals as objects, because when people do that, that's just one step or many steps closer to psychopathy, you know, being a psychopath. You have no human feelings for anything. So those are some of the different things. I just wanted to say that. Remember, do no harm, do right. Whatever you decide, don't make blanket statements. You know, gays are born that way, gays are not born that way. It could be both, according to research and according to gays, some gays' own admissions. It doesn't matter whether born that way or whether they choose to be. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. What is relevant is that we accept people for who they are, provided no harm is being done. So there's the finale of my little soapbox, to use your term. So
we've been having some, you know, little bits of discussion in the chat room, and you know, we welcome that's what we're all here for. Anybody has anything to contribute. I know it's been said that being gay is as learned a behavior as having blue eyes. You know, and if you have blue eyes and you're gay, that's who you are, you know, because that goes.
But it's true. And it's true. But it's also true that some have chosen that. It's also true for those who have that sexual, you know, being sexually fluid. They don't look at gender. They just look at the person. So.
And that's, I think, where we get into a spiritual love. I take it that level higher. That when you look at an individual who you have a connection with. I think that there, you know, this opens another point. I had a client many years ago who was married. She had three kids, wonderful husband. And as I sat down with her and got into the reading, I said, oh, you're in love with your best friend. She said, yes. I said, but you're not gay. And she said, no, I'm not gay, but I love her. I said, well, you have to think long and hard if you're willing to leave your husband and three children for this woman. Could it be, and I just had to put this to her, could it be that this is somebody you were married to in a past life, but in this lifetime you have different expressions and you have different, you know, lifestyles? And maybe that's not where you're supposed to go this time, but the spiritual love that you have is, that's your connection. And as it went, she left her husband and three kids to be with this best friend, love of her life. Now, you know, in that case, I think we have to say that is a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, that's...
well, there you go.
It's not a question of being gay or straight or
right.
Anything.
Being sexually fluid.
And I don't know if she'd even say that, although I appreciate the term. I think that she was following her spiritual love, and that just went over, you know, it just took over everything. I don't know if they did stay together. I mean, they were together for several years that I know of, but I think that making these decisions is very difficult. And I think that any way you look at it, she's going to live with the aftermath of the husband, the children, and, you know, there's fallout. Any kinds of decisions that we make is going to impact and affect other people. So we have to consider that. But it was so strong for her that I just shrug my shoulders and say that's her thing, because it had nothing to do with sex. And nor, to me, about being sexually fluid. I think it was that compelling, you know, spiritual connection that she had such great comfort that just took over. I mean, they were it. So in my work and in my life, having had exposure to many, many different, I mean, every time I think I've seen it all, I ain't seen it all. So these different scenarios play out, but nobody decides to be gay. I believe that. Because if you're talking about in the gayness of it, that's not a decision. That's an is. It is.
Well, some people would argue with that. And I'm not going to argue it with you, because I am not that person. But in my research, there are people who have chosen that direction. That's what they said. They said, I was not born this way. I've had many other relationships, but I chose this is what fits right with me. And
well,
so now, does that mean that they were in fact born that way and they just don't want to admit it? I don't know. But the point is that it doesn't matter.
In the case of meeting a soulmate, then it isn't about choosing to be gay. It's about choosing to be with your soulmate.
Exactly. Exactly right. And that's one of the main points here. It doesn't matter. We accept people for who they are. We don't judge them. We accept them. And I think we're both on the same side on that one.
Well, a question was just brought up about bisexuality. I think that bisexuality is being born into a lifetime with memory of both, which is different than transgender, I might add. You're born into a body. Your spirit does not feel like you really are in the wrong body. And that just causes such distress that people are willing to go these extra lengths to get back into the body that they feel they belong in. Yeah. And, I mean, it's a very overpowering thing. And, you know, I have friends who are transgenders over the years, and it's just the way it is. Like, my spirit is not in the right body. Bisexuality is... To me, that's the fluidity of, and that to me would be that term of, you know, sexually fluid, of being able to bond spiritually with people despite any gender, because you're not seeing gender, you're seeing beyond the gender. And that's just the expression of love when you meet somebody and you just don't think about it. And you honestly don't think about it, male or female. It's just not a consideration.
And that's, good points.
So it was just, somebody just brought up bisexuality, the same as fluid sexuality. And I believe that.
It could be semantics. I don't know. The point of fluid sexuality is, doesn't matter their gender, that's beside the point. It's like you had said, their soulmate, regardless of what gender that person may be. So
I think that we're in a very tenuous time of people holding on to what values that they believe, but it's all fear-based. We've talked about that a lot. People really do have this fear of going to hell, or the fear of it being exposed to things that they don't understand. So any retaliation of any kind is fear. A lot of men are afraid of women, so they oppress them. I think that a lot of people want to control children, so old men marry little girls 12 years old. And nobody can tell me that that's not harmful. But I think that if we isolate fear, then we find our acceptance. And I think people are really afraid of being contaminated by things they don't understand. or that their children will be contaminated. I actually had someone worried that my son would grow up gay because he was raised in a house full of women. I can't tell you how many times people said that to me. I was just like, what? It just didn't
occur to me. And it's the same thing as somebody being raised by two gay dads or two gay moms.
Sure.
That they're going to turn out gay. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It's who the person is.
If kids are going to be screwed up, they're going to be screwed up for other reasons, not necessarily isolating.
Has something to do with it. Yeah.
But people like to isolate something that they don't understand rather than exploring to understand. And some things just, again, I don't even know if we need to understand it. Just accept that we're spiritual beings here in a human body, learning how to become better human beings and, you know, share on a planet.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what I think we're all talking about.
All right, so we're getting close to the end of our program tonight. So if anybody would like a card pulled from our inner oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room right away and we'll get to those. And then we'll start wrapping things up. And in the meantime, while I'm waiting, I just like to encourage our students, either at IMHS or at Thomas Francis, you know, if you've benefited from the program or are benefiting from the program, please don't hesitate to tell your friends and family, those who may be interested, tell them about it and have them take a look at it. Now, use discretion, because I know that we have a lot of students whose families think they're doing the wrong thing, and it just goes into the same old intolerance as what we've been talking about tonight. But, if you know someone who could benefit from this, then please tell them about the website. All right, so we have a couple. Let's start with Tabby.
Yes, I just drew a card for you, Tabitha. Open-mindedness, which is number 38 in the life skills suit. An open mind, isn't this appropriate too? An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. So if you're, thinking things around kind of a time in your life, I think it's just be open to other ideas or other possibilities. I think that's what it's saying to you.
That was a great card based on our discussion tonight.
Sure is.
All right, next is Fran.
Sorry, next is
Fran.
Hi. Oh, hi, Fran. There you are. I have for you reinvention. Oh, the number 17. It's in the existential suit. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life could be reinvented? So I think this is saying that there's something shifting inside. So it's, you know, you got to be open-minded and take it right deep inside of yourself. And, you know, that as it says that, you know, examination. So I think you're on it. I think you know how to do that. But that's just that affirmation to it. So,
and that's another great card for our discussion tonight, because that's what we're talking about, reinventing our belief system, thinking for ourselves, not depending on society and religious conditioning. All right, looks like the last one is Dr. Angie.
Hello, Dr. Angie. Nice to see you here tonight. Right after reinventions, evolution, number 18. So, evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort, but fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, the entropy is lowered. So that's for you, taking the next step up and over and evolving, Dr. Angie. So I think that's, knowing a little bit about where you are in your life, I think that's kind of appropriate. So I hope you feel that it fits too.
And, you know, and that one is another excellent one for our discussion earlier tonight, because that's what we're doing. We're evolving, and we're seeing this happen right before our very eyes. And the thing that's kind of cool about these cards is, you know, how does that happen? You know, we had this long discussion, and then we get three cards: open-mindedness, reinvention, and evolution. I mean, I couldn't have picked those any better than what happened. So I don't know. It's just interesting how consciousness works. I'll give it that. All right, folks, we appreciate your time tonight. Appreciate your those of you who made comments in the chat room. Appreciate those too. Hopefully, it's given you some food for thought and get you thinking. That's the big thing and what we strive to do all the time. So next week we'll be back and we'll have another topic at hand. And again, let others know if you're benefiting from this, or if you're a student benefiting from the degree program, let them know. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.